good morning and welcome to Sportin' Life with Sam Kikovich and Leon Weegaard. Sam, it's the big time of the year for your chess. I guess we've got the derby tomorrow, we've got the cup on Tuesday, plenty happening.
Well, it's arguably the greatest week in racing around the world. It's widely acclaimed, and of course tomorrow, Derby Day, is also arguably the greatest day of racing because it's the purest day from that perspective. But it's just a phenomenal week. You know, you got Derby Day, then you got the Cup, and then you got the Oaks, and culminating on Saturday, the Stakes Day. So just fantastic, best horse in the world. Although the Northern Hemisphere is not all that well represented this year for obvious reasons with COVID. And, of course, the Melbourne Cup's fallen away too. They've only got two nominees. And I see Spanish Options may well be a late scratching because of it's got an inflamed tendon.
Mm.
So that's to be looked at as well. But a great week in total, Leon. And this is where we swell our pockets. We invest very wisely and with a modicum of knowledge and judicious planning, it's quite conceivable we'll make our trip Sunday or Monday morning to the ANZ, or you go to the NAB, we'll deposit.
With a bag full.
Well, hopefully with a bag full, otherwise we'll have to borrow again, Leon, like we normally do every year.
The interesting thing you said there was that COVID has interrupted the Melbourne Cup Carnival. You also mentioned about the swollen tendon. Now, those two things are connected in a way because in Victoria here, we've been governed by the health people. Every statement was taking health advice and all that sort of stuff. And people are sort of starting to query that a bit. And in the racing, of course, they've now gone bazonkers now. They've got this new X-ray machine where every horse has to be X-rayed to an inch of its life.
Exactly.
And it's prevented a lot of horses coming out here because it's not worth their chances. So, and now there's good reason, I guess, in their own minds for doing these things, but it's affected the carnival.
There's no doubt the level of scrutiny that has created, and I've spoken to a lot of owners and trainers in particular that felt that they could have easily have raced their horses, but because the rules of racing and this particular X-ray machine that you're alluding to has been so conclusive, and that the vets won't move either way unless if what's depicted on the X-ray is their governing body, is their governing rule. And even if it's marginal, they're scratched and they've got no recourse. So that's probably one of the reasons, because it's a very expensive exercise to journey a horse and then, you know, house it and then quarantine it at Werribee for a period of time and then hopefully get some stake money out of it.
Now, I know they're all very professional, all these vets, and, you know, their job is to make sure the horses are okay, but I hope this is not an extension of the woke, you know, where they're being influenced by newspapers and you know, opinion of a smaller set of the community. I hope that's not coming into it.
Well, Leon, if I may just digress for a moment and take you down another path, which has got some... it's got some semblance of relevance, and that is today's Freedom Day. After an eternity of lockdown, an eternity of living in the world's most livable prison, we have finally been released to some extent. And there is Captain Dan, our esteemed leader, thanking us profusely for abiding by his rules. Now, think of the narcissistic, megalomaniac person that he is, that he's got the temerity to suggest that we should be eternally grateful for him permitting us to actually go and smell the roses. What a disdain and a disgrace. And anyone that takes the liberty of going out there and getting chickered today, I'm telling you, I said it last week, we should go and get a pack of hearses and drive them up and down the main streets and never ever forgetting the great social injustice that's been thrust upon the populace in this country, and hope we don't forget at the appropriate time when we poll. Now, this may be an extension of what's transpiring in every facet of life, because let me tell you, this draconian policy that we've adopted all right across the board has probably gone into the field of endeavour in terms of sport and racing and so forth. So it's quite conceivable. I know it's a long-winded explanation, but that's the way it is. It's one suits, you know, fits all.
Now, how did you finish the Sam Kekovich stuff on television when you were doing that series? What was the
finale?
Yeah.
Well, we haven't. There's still, it's a...
No, you had a punchline at the end of it, though.
You know, it makes sense. I'm Sam Kekovich.
That's it.
That was a good segue, Leon. Thank you. But you're right. You know, here he is to think we are going to thank him for our freedom. It's just it just defies common sense and logic. And there he is, large as life. It just absolutely infuriates me. And I hope people don't forget at the appropriate time when they go and put that ticket in. Anyhow, this is not a political sermon, Leon. We've got a far more pressing.
We are in Sport and Life with Sam Kanglis, Leon Weygaard, and with the compliments of Mitchell and Wines, of course, when we are broadcasting from the Prince Hotel in, I'll call it Fitzroy Street. It's actually Ackland Street, isn't it? On the corner.
Corner.
But Fitzroy Street, you'd not. It's a fantastic hotel. How much do you reckon they spent on this place?
Oh, Leon. Oh, gosh.
Million.
Hazard a guess.
Has to
20
be.
Million, 30 million, 10 million. Money couldn't buy it. There's only a certain few people could buy this. I don't think they reside in this country. But they will be very shortly. I believe there's a flotilla coming across as we speak. And I think they've got a couple of nukes underneath Port Phillip Bay.
Our guest today is Tim Franklin. Now, he won't be a well-known name to you down here in Melbourne. He's a Queenslander. He's, mid-30s, Sam?
Approaching there.
We'll ask him. This bloke wants to run around the world. Now, let's find out what that's all about. Tim, good morning to you.
Morning, gents. And I must say, it's, having listened to your podcast, it's humbling to be on.
Oh, Tim. Let me tell you, Tim, before you start, we don't cop patronisation and condescending here. So unless you smarten up, you'll be pissed off.
Start again.
You'll be pissed off very quickly around here, mate. This is Victoria.
Let's go to the start, Tim. You come up like every other young bloke, drinking too much, eating too much, generalising around the party circuit a bit, and suddenly the penny dropped. What made the penny drop?
Yeah, it all started probably about 15 years ago, where I was just going just a little too heavy on certain proclivities of life. So I was working on a case. So I'm a lawyer by trade, and I was working on a case, and there was just a comment there, a quote from a parent who had to bury their own child, and they said the hardest thing to do someone has to do is bury their own child. And I just thought, the way I was going, everything that my folks had done for me, I thought, well, if I don't make a change, there's every chance that they're going to have to do that to me. So I didn't want that to happen. So I decided pretty well there and then that I wanted to do something. So that was to get fit again.
During COVID, and I'll let you loose with Sam Kekovich very shortly, but during COVID, you got into this, well, before COVID, but you got into this fitness regime and you started a company up that does personal training and all that, and Sam can mention that, owned your own show. But during COVID, this is the interesting thing, you ran the equivalent of a marathon in your own apartment.
I did. It was very early on. That was about the April or something of 2020. So just sort of when the world was thrown into chaos, and I run a triathlon squad up here in Brisbane as well as coach at a couple of schools. So I just wanted to, you know, the world was flipped on its head. So I just wanted to do something to, you know, engage, entertain, inspire, if you will, motivate, just to make sure people kept moving. And a friend of mine saw that someone in France had run an apartment marathon. So I thought, geez, that's something I could do, a bit of a laugh. So I went ahead and did it, yeah.
Now, Tim, there's an obvious question beckons here. Now, there's a perception that there is a correlation between being a legal eagle and intelligence. I want to know, before I proceed any further, are you fully still intact with your faculties?
Oh, listen, I think that question's probably best left answered to people that know me.
Right. The reason I ask, I'm not being disparaging or denigrating. Who in their right frame of mind would have a temerity of running around the world with their lucidity intact?
Yeah, probably very, very few people. But the story all started. I was doing a I went and got myself fit and started really falling in love with ultra endurance running. And met a gentleman by the name of Tom Dennis in a race across the Simpson Desert.
Right.
And Tom was actually the first person in the world to have done it, to have run around the world. He's a gentleman from Sydney. And I just spent a week with him and was like, oh, Tommy, I need to do this. So I want to go see the world. I love to run. It sounds like one great adventure. Let's see if I can better the time that it took you to do it.
Cliff Young.
And that's where it grew from there.
Does Cliff Young ring a bell to you?
Cliffy Young does, absolutely.
Yeah, of course. Now, the other thing is, let's get to the nitty-gritty of it all. What constitutes a global run? I mean to say, so, you're not going to produce your Medibank card in North Korea with Kim Jong-il or the Colombia cartel.
You have to... they've broken it down. So there's a group called the World Runners Association, which is based in Canberra. And it's just a gentleman that decided to capture, the legitimacy of people's claims to have run long distances. So the rules around the run around the world are I have to cover 26,232 kilometres in total. That's running. I have to go in one direction, so I have to pass each line of longitude in the same direction. I have to run on a minimum of four continents, and for a continent to count, I have to run a minimum of 3,000 kilometres on that continent. And start within 1 kilometre of the ocean or major inlet on one side, and finish within 1 kilometre or the major inlet on the other side.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to know. Well, the average layman would want to know. First and foremost, there would have to be an umpire or someone that monitors all this. Is there not a Guinness Book of Records referee? Is that what happens?
Yeah, so the World Runners Association will be the umpire and the regulator, and they will work with the Guinness Book of Records to certify that it's been done. So I have to keep all my GPS coordinates. So each day I have to start exactly the same point where I finished the day before.
Right.
So I can't finish and then drive to a close town and then start running from there. I actually have to start
where you finish
and then start again at the same point each day.
Now the course that you're about to embark upon, is that the standard course that's been previously utilised, or you've got your own course which encompasses all the necessary facts?
So I have worked closely with Tom and what he suggested, and I've just amended it to I suppose places that I want to go and see as well, but I am eyeing off the world record. So there has been I've gone through the map that I would like to run and then gone back over it, basically to take out any hills, any climbs, kept it probably, as easy as it possibly can be for me to make sure that I can back up day after day.
Now, just quickly, one last one before Leon gets to you. If the courses are different and if there is a degree of difficulty, I think the world record you said was 431 days or something like that. You intend doing it in 400 days. But if the courses so the world record holder, whoever he is at the moment, if he's embarked on a course which is very hilly or undulating, which has got a degree of difficulty far greater than something that you might embark upon, which might be a flat one, so that still counts, does it? There's no penalties or anything like that?
No, not as far as I'm aware. It's you've got to start and finish in the same point, and the minimum kilometres is what you have to hit with those rules. Whether your ascent or descent is up to you. Your elevation gain is up to you. So the current record is another a French bloke by the name of Serge, and he did it in 434 days. So my aim is to obviously just go 433. But I've built into that a number of rest days, so I'm hoping to be running for about 410 days.
It sounds like, Tim, you'll have to really get the planning right. Obviously, you just avoid hills. That's to answer Sam's question, I guess, which is a valid one. Just avoid those hills and valleys if you can. How do you do that if you've never been to the places before?
Yeah, good question, Leon. So I have been lucky enough to race in a number of sort of ultra races around the globe and met people from, you know, each point of the compass. So I've reached out to them and said, this is my plan. This is where I want to run. A, can I do that? B, is it safe to do that? And C, how flat is it? And is there a flatter route or an easier route to get the same number of kilometres? And so they've given me the feedback on that route. So I've just amended it based on their recommendations.
So
the logistics of the whole thing is far more daunting than the running itself.
Tell me some of the countries you were going through.
I'll start here in Brisbane, New Zealand, first up, and then I go shoot across to North America. So I've got the US and Canada. Then I head south to South America, and I go Brazil, Bolivia, Argentina, Chile, and then head off to Europe and basically run the breadth of Europe. So from Portugal, Spain, France, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, into the Slovenia, Slovakia, and then out of Turkey, and then into Asia. I go into Malaysia and Singapore, and then I finish by running across Australia. So I land in Perth and then run all the way across Australia, down into the great state of Victoria, and then up the East Coast.
That'd be a sprint across Victoria.
Yeah, that's if you're allowed in. It's still in lockdown.
The great state by the time I get back.
It might be still in lockdown, so be careful. The other thing is, if you're going to Chile, I don't know if you know your geographics pretty well, but the Andes are there to be avoided if you can.
So the Andes is my one mountain pass.
Oh, right.
And all I have to do is just avoid it in December because of the weather. So that's about 5,400 metres of elevation. So that's my big, that's the test. That'll be about just on halfway of the run in terms of distance. So that's going to be, that's going to really test me.
There's some huge.
Yeah, Sam, every one of those countries that Tim mentioned.
Yep.
I'm a bit of a railway freak.
Yeah.
You know, I like all those shows on television about the railways. Every one of those countries has got a very good railway service. Does Tim know that?
I think I know where he's. I think you get the drift there, Tim. Leon's very lateral in that regard, but.
Yeah, people have said, why don't I just fly? It'd be easier. Why don't I just get on a car and drive? But the whole premise of this is, I mean, I use the term lucky. You mentioned earlier in my Own Your Own Show program, which is about goal setting. And I just use the term lucky, and I just want. I mean, I'm lucky enough to even attempt this.
Yeah.
Many people don't have that opportunity. Many people aren't afforded that opportunity. So, you know, I've just noticed that, and as you said in the start, my sort of later teenage years and early 20s were pretty well wasted, and I was sedentary and unmotivated. And I just want everyone, you know, to move. The world's a far better place if people are moving. And I think COVID's shown that locked down and stuck and still and sedentary is no good for anyone, whether it be physically, emotionally, mentally. So if a young bloke, well, not so young anymore, but a bloke from Brisbane in Australia down under can run around the world, then I can go and walk my dog, I can get better, I can motivate my kids to go and have a hit of tennis or whatever it may be. So that's really what I'm doing it for. I just want everyone to move. I want people to come and run with me if they want, or walk with me, whatever it is. I just want the world to be moving again.
Well, we're very proud of your candor. There's no doubt about that. And not only that, but you'll serve as a great inspiration if you come back alive. And Tim, might I also add, Leon and I come from a sporting background in football, where, I don't know if you're aware of it, but we have huge support staff with football clubs. Now, you mentioned logistics before. You must have a mighty big backup team in a number of areas to ensure that this goes seamlessly.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best part about what I do, you know, as a triathlon and running coach is that the people that I'm surrounded by are always pretty positive and really motivated sort of you know, folks. So when I mention this to them, the first thing is, what can I do? That's awesome. What can I do? How can I help? So yeah, my support is basically just mates that are willing to give up their own time to help me, whatever that looks like. So whether it be you know, physio or massage, or even down to website design or branding or social media or PR releases or whatever it may be, people have really jumped on board. It's actually pretty cool.
How many would you have in your support team, Tim? Just quickly, numbers.
At the moment, it's about eight that are in the team, and then there's my gym guys and my physio and chiro and yeah, so probably 15 all up at the moment.
So
that's going to build.
So how many run with you? Will some of them run with you, or you run solo? And how do they follow the rest of the team if you're going through the Andes, for argument's sake?
So the plan is, and I'm on the hunt for some generous sponsorship, is to have a vehicle with me, a caravan or something like that, with me the whole time, with at least one person, if not two people, in it all the time. And again, like, my network around the world is sort of helping that out, where people that live close by to where I'm going to be running have offered to jump in the van. But ultimately, I'd love my mates to come over for a couple of weeks, fly in, spend a couple of weeks with me, and then come back home. Now that relies on the world being open again and more free travel. But the way we're going, I think that's something I'd love to do. Like, for my mates to come over and be a part of it would be awesome. Or anyone, for that fact.
What's your timetable look like, Tim? When's this going to happen?
So originally I was slated to kick off on 1 January 2022, but again, with COVID, I've made just a sensible decision to push it back. So I'm going to start on the 3rd of December 2022. So it's 13 months basically from today.
Tim, do you, family-wise, have you got siblings or a wife you're going to leave behind, or are you single?
No, I've got a very supportive girlfriend who is involved in running and sport and luckily no dependents at this stage. So yeah, it's a particularly selfish endeavor. I understand that, but it's something that ever since I met Tom in 2016 that I've just wanted to do.
Now, how about those deaf neighbours of yours that tolerated you running up and down the stairs of an 8-storey building to run the equivalent of a trip up Everest by foot? Now, they must be a very tolerant group.
Yeah, I must say, I think I've been struck off a number of Christmas card lists in my time of living in that apartment building. But yeah, that was another one of my COVID lockdown endeavours. But I was just in the fire escape, so I can tell anyone, don't do it. It was probably one of the more brutal things I've ever done.
What's your overall budget for all this, Tim, if you don't mind me asking?
No, the overall budget, I mean, is somewhere between $120,000 to
$150,000. How many sponsors have you got so far?
I've got a couple of sponsors that are providing me with services, but at this stage I've got no financial backing. If I have to, it will be self-funded, but I'd love, you know, to support and promote, you know, like-minded companies for sure.
Oh, well, you won't have any difficulty attracting a sponsor. There's no doubt about that, because that'll no doubt generate a lot of publicity, you know, embarking on a quest of that magnitude. And one of the reasons I might add, you know, you might detect I'm a bit flippant, because I'm still trying to digest the magnitude of what you're doing. It's beyond my comprehension to keep... What are you running, 63K a day for 400 days?
Yeah, that's it, 60. So that's 1.5 marathons a day for 15 months.
That's Melbourne Geelong, isn't it? About 63K?
Well, that's about
every day.
Every day. The only thing in your favour, of course, is you'll have a change of scenery to a large degree.
Correct. And the people, like, no doubt that there'll be days where the last thing I want to do is get up and run, but that's the mental challenge. But that surely, I'm just looking forward to it. I mean, I love it, right? So I'm just looking forward to the adventure, the people I'll meet, the stories I'll get to tell,
My
you
word.
Know, like the things that will happen, the things that will you know, unfold before my eyes. And yeah, and I'm working with a foundation here in Australia called the Fair Go Foundation, which is all about, you know, inspiring brighter futures. So if I can show these guys these stories and tell them these stories and tell them that the big wide world is out there waiting for us, then you know, that's going to be, that makes it all worth it, right? That's the pain. That's what I'm looking forward to the most, to be honest.
Now, Sam and I, just before we had you online, Tim, were talking about the X-raying of all the horses going into the Melbourne Cup to avoid some of the problems that they've had in the last 10 years. Have you had your body checked over to make sure? I mean, obviously you spoke about chiros and all that, but are you full medical, sure that you can? I mean, this is an extraordinarily difficult undertaking that you are about to set yourself out on. Now, are you sure that your limbs are going to, your ankles are going to be okay, your lungs are good, all those vital things?
Yeah, I mean, no is the short answer. I've got no idea if my body is going to be capable of doing it, but I'm going to prepare it as best I can. But yeah, I've again been lucky enough to work with the university that I used to attend. They're helping me out, running some medical reviews, you know, all medical assessments. I've got some, yeah, very good friends that are radiographers, so they're helping me out as well. So I'm getting, yeah, I'm attempting to leave no stone unturned in order to when I hit that start line here in Brizzy next year, that I'm ready as best I can to be to rock and roll. And you know, if I get 3 days down the road and everything goes to hell, well, so be it. But ultimately, I like to think that if I don't get to the end, it'll be because I'm carted off in a box, but at least I had the courage to give it a crack.
Oh gee whiz, I feel inspired already. I feel like joining you if I could. Tell me, just quickly, your legal partners in your business.
Hang on a minute, that's the first 10 metres covered.
Oh, Leon, whenever he gets a chance, I tell you, he dampens my spirits, but I'm going to keep going.
It's not fair, is it?
Two things quickly. No doubt you're going to diarise your journey. I can see a good book coming out of this. This will be a bestseller. There's no doubt about that. And secondly, yep, your legal partners, are they aware of where you're going?
Yeah, the first point is that, yeah, I'd love to obviously, you know, diarise it, you know, put it into some sort of memory. So, but I really want to focus on the people that I meet as opposed to my journey. Everyone's going to know it's really easy to write, woke up, was sore, started running, finished running, stopped. But I want to really diarise the people that I meet. That's the story I want to tell. And I'm actually lucky enough to work for myself. So again, I've just put my legal career on ice. And just going all in on the coaching and this run.
Why don't you finish up putting your ankles and your knees on ice as well after every day?
Leon, just quickly, I know you're going to mention it later on. I know sponsors are very, very important. Leon, you no doubt mention it. We have one here that may well be very keen to get on board in some shape or form. You might have heard of Jayco.
Yeah, Mr. Ryan?
Yes, yep. You know Mr. Ryan, and I know you've been speaking to some people in Brisbane, the representative of SAME, but he sponsors nearly everyone, and someone of that endeavour in what you're trying to do, you never know.
Jimmy Canavis is the boy up there.
Jimmy Canavis, you never know, there might be a T-shirt or even something greater of some enterprise.
You go and see Jayco in Brisbane. His son runs the business now. I don't know what his son's name is, but mention Jimmy Canavis and talk to him about that.
But we'd also leave your details here on our podcast. And
yes, we need that.
Mr. Ryan himself may have a look at it, and he may well be in touch through his. Invoice.
Networks. Yes.
Network.
Now, Tim, what's the contact for people who want to be involved?
Yeah, so the best way to contact me is probably to jump on my social media account, I guess, on my Instagram page is probably the best way to see what I've been up to, and that's just at Timmy R. Franklin. And then my email is just tim@timrunstheworld.com. Are probably the two best ways to get in contact with me.
What about a more direct means of approach? Tim, you got a phone number or something we can...
I absolutely got a phone number.
We're in a conversation. We don't worry about electronic media and all that sophisticated weaponry. We're...
That's for all the young folk out there.
That's it.
And the mobile number, yeah, absolutely. It's 0410-543-579. I'd love, you know, and I'd say if you go and have a look at the website as well, I'd love for anyone to be involved. I don't even care if it's to run 5Ks with me on one day, you know, just to be a part of it. This is going to be I want this to be fun. It's going to be brutal at times, but I just want it to be fun. People to come out, meet people. You know, the people that know me know that I'm a really big people person. So yeah, I'd love to meet as many of the world as I can in a year and a half.
Bad luck, Franklin Caravans aren't still going, really.
I've heard JK are number one in the business, so that's okay.
Oh, yeah. So Franklin might have gone the way of a lot of other companies, I don't know. But JK is about 50% of the market.
80%.
No, they're not.
They're 80% of the market. The rest have got 20%. Leon, don't question me on figures.
I'll double dare.
All right.
Now, we're seeing the great man shortly.
We are.
I'll ask him.
Well, he'll tell you. He'll be slightly more conservative. I'll say 75.
I'll have a tet sticker with you.
We're not at a gamble, Leon. Who's closest? Freedom Day.
Tim, number is 0410-543-179. Tim Franklin.
579.
Thank you for that.
We've just lost a million already.
0410-543-579. Yeah. Tim Franklin's a boy, and we do wish you well, Tim, and it's terrific having you on Sport and Life, and we wish you all the very best for the 3rd of December next year.
No, thanks very much, Jensen. Thanks for all the support.
We'll have you back when you finish, mate. Keep our fingers crossed.
Thanks, Jen.
See you, mate.
Cheers, bye.